Support for this program comes from Bloomsterhouse, filled with plants and supplies for the spring, like trees, shrubs, and potting soil. Open on Main Street, 10 to 5, Monday through Saturday, and at 907-772-2566.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer, all winter without them is a culinary.
Hello and welcome back to In the Garden. I'm your host, Daniel Rowan Tucker. I think there's a special magic that happens when we get those bright sunny days right on the heels of a drenching rain. That balance of the elements is great for plants, too, both sunshine and moisture in abundance. The other day, my 2-year-old son and I found a yosteberry bush just loaded with fat, ripe fruits the size of small grapes, and I was reminded of yet another great berry crop for our climate. One of these days, I'll do an episode on the genus Ribes, also known as the currant and gooseberry clan. Yosteberry is a hybrid of black currant and gooseberry. These are a great counterpart to the Brambley rubus tribe that I covered last week. But this week I want to talk about a garden feature that is always relevant when new construction is happening. Hedges. So, I live just down the road from the old hotel-turned-apartment complex across from the ferry terminal, which is undergoing some much-needed renovations. And in the process, a row of big spruce trees were brought down because they were burying the poor old building in a thick layer of needles and cones. And now the folks next door have a wide-open view of the apartment building where once there were giant trees. I don't know about their plans, but this is a classic example of the kind of situation where a well-grown hedge can restore privacy and also provide foliage, flowers, and fruit to enhance a home landscape. When any town is growing or rebuilding a lot, good hedges are in demand. Up here in small Alaskan communities, they aren't as much of a staple feature as they are in a place like Seattle, partly because the labor and the nursery stock to establish them aren't as readily available here. But I think that also folks here would often rather feel like they're living on the edge of the wilderness, be it a forest, a beach, or a muskeg, rather than hemmed in by hedges, sheared square and trim. But hedges can come in all shapes and sizes. There's no need to stick with the stereotypical, tightly formal, symmetrical version we associate with grand estates and Jane Austen characters going about in horse-drawn carriages. That's just not Petersburg. Hedges can run the gamut from the aforementioned carefully sheared walls of green to semi-formal upright masses that are pruned somewhat regularly to wild and woolly thickets of many different trees and shrubs all tangled together and well populated with birds and furry critters. Hedges and fences can go hand in hand as well, and often do unintentionally, because birds love perching on fences and depositing all kinds of seeds in their droppings. And the backside of a fence is the perfect place for trees and shrubs to spring up unnoticed by weed whackers for a few seasons. But they can also work together intentionally, for example, building a privacy fence as a short-term solution and then planting a hedge inside it as a longer-term solution. Healthy trees and shrubs will outlast anything but a stone wall. The fence can also help protect the young plants from deer or other animals if it's part of a fully enclosed yard. In Europe and other parts of the old world, there's some really amazing traditions of creating interwoven sort of living fences or stock-proof hedges that enclosed livestock as large as cattle. Oftentimes these were thorny plants like hawthorn hedges, and there was a whole ancient craft to cutting the trees partially over, laying them over on their side, interweaving the branches, very carefully and skillfully creating this dense barrier of live woody growth that was capable of containing livestock. Some really, really interesting examples of that. But we're going to stick with the more standard town hedges for this episode. A hedge can be created with almost any kind of plant if it is well situated and properly maintained. But in general, what's needed are vigorous, tough, fast-growing shrubs and sometimes trees as well that stand up to regular pruning. A hedge composed of a single species will have a more formal appearance and is generally an easier route to creating a uniform barrier because different species have different growth rates and habits. So if you want a green wall around your property, stick with one good species. But even though a multi-species hedge may need more careful pruning and sometimes thinning out or replanting over time, it also brings greater biodiversity into a small space, and it creates a much more natural feeling to have lots of different things planted together. That's my personal preference, is for a diverse, informal, kind of semi-wild-looking hedge. But there's all kinds out there. Important considerations before planting are, of course, drainage. For any plants to really grow fast, vigorously, they're going to need good drainage. This is almost a universal law. That's why everything in the muskeg is stunted and tiny. And with hedges, growth rate is important usually, because construction projects happen very fast sometimes, and it's nice to have plants that can also grow fairly fast. So figuring out good drainage beforehand, whether it's ditching, backfilling with gravel, even creating a long raised bed, like the full length of where the hedge is going to go, 2 feet high, 2 feet wide, or a couple feet wide or something, you know, could be a good strategy to create really good drainage and ensure that the hedge plants are going to grow fast and provide that big stout hedge screen that you want. Sun and shade is another big factor. You know, all the fastest plants are going to prefer full sun, especially up here where warmth and sunlight is more limited. So trying to maximize their sunlight, but even in shade, there are options. There are some plants that will make a hedge even in somewhat shade. That's just a little more, takes a little bit more careful plant selection. And they're probably not going to grow as fast. Spacing and width and height, spacing the plants properly depends on what they are, how big they'll get. You know, trees are going to need wider spacing apart than shrubs in general, and also, you know, how wide they're going to grow. When you're dealing with something that has the potential to become a full-size tree, say a red cedar or a Sitka spruce or something like that, you know, considering how wide the branches might eventually spread, and where any like buildings or infrastructure might be in relation to that. And also height growth, you know, are there power lines overhead? If so, try to stick with shrubs. You know, trees going into power lines is just going to create an ongoing headache and expense of the trees either having to get hacked off by people who are responsible for taking care of the utility lines or the homeowner having to do it. So keep an eye out for what's above. Also, try to be considerate of your neighbors and not block out all their sunlight. There are many examples of lawsuits ensuing in other places over monster hedges that ended up stealing all the sunlight from somebody else's yard and turning it into a dark, dank place. There's a particular species of cypress that is notorious for this and doesn't seem to grow very well here from what I've seen. I don't think it stands up well to the snow, but the Leland cypress is the kind of notorious hedge monster in places like Seattle and has, I believe, been specifically banned from certain areas because it has such a reputation for causing problems and swallowing up neighbors' yards. And so, you know, think carefully about where you're throwing shade with your hedge and other desired values, you know, not just a screen or a barrier, but also, is it beautiful? Are there flowers? Are there edible fruits? You know, what kind of wildlife will it attract? And then the other big consideration is maintenance, and the style of your hedge really factors into this. Those formal, straight-sided, smooth, sheared hedges are generally fairly high maintenance, and the shearing is generally done with a tool called an oscillating hedge trimmer. Not many people around here have those. Another testament to hedges being less common. I know Matt Garrett's has one. He's done a really beautiful job with some of the hedges around town with shearing. Some things take well to shearing, other things don't. And with certain, with conifers, for example, you can make a beautiful sheared hedge with conifers, even with Sitka spruce. But you have to shear into the new growth every year. If you start shearing into the old branches and the old wood, it won't sprout back in the same way, and you'll get these kind of permanent sticks and stubs, and it just won't look good. So shearing is kind of a delicate art, sort of like cutting hair. You don't want to cut someone's scalp. It doesn't really work that way. So that's something to keep in mind. But depending on what kind of hedge it is, there's lots of other options. Pruning the branches from the inside out. Some things sprout back from the wood anywhere, and it doesn't really matter so much how you cut them. There's a lot of different options. And generally, informal hedges, if you have the space for that more kind of bushy, loose, wild look, that's going to give you more options rather than trying to keep something to a really tight, sheared look, which is going to be more maintenance intensive. On to some specific species that I've seen prove themselves as good hedge plants around here in Petersburg. The arborvita, this is the classic kind of tall, narrow evergreen. It's in the cypress family. It's closely related to our native red cedar. What's called arborvita in the nursery trade is usually Thuja occidentalis, and there's a specific variety called Pyramidalis, and several other varieties that are closely similar to that. But basically, it's a cypress that grows, cypress aka cedar, not a true cedar for the botany geeks out there, but has those fragrant evergreen foliage, and it grows very narrow and upright in this kind of pointy, narrow shape. You've seen them around, you'll recognize them. A row of those is the kind of classic suburban hedge, because even though they're moderately, they grow fast enough to make a decent hedge, but they just don't get any wider than like 4 or 5 feet, maybe. They're very good at staying narrow, and so basically they can be grown without needing shearing or trimming hardly ever. If they're well grown, and also if they don't get bent way over in the snow, which does happen sometimes on a big snow year, the tops can kind of get noodled over and kind of hang down in your yard on one side or the other. But that's sort of the classic, and they can look nice when they're well grown. The deer will go after them, after the lower branches. So bear that in mind. They should be fenced when they're young. But I've seen some nice ones around. Like anything, they need good drainage to really do their best and look good. The native red cedar, closely related, faster growth rate than the arborvita, will become a full-size tree in time if you let it. Can be sheared somewhat with some ongoing maintenance, can be made into a very nice sheared hedge, lovely fragrant foliage, native to Mitkoff Island. Has many, many craft uses, as demonstrated by native peoples of the Northwest Coast over eons. Red cedar is a really nice one, somewhat tolerant of wet soil. You know, again, it's a rainforest tree, so can be a good choice here. Nootka rose, this is a really great multi-purpose shrub, has beautiful fragrant flowers. Depending on how you manage it, if you don't shear off the new growth that will become the flower buds for next year, Nootka rose is pretty hardy, grows in a lot of different soils, can tolerate some wet, kind of thorny, not crazy thorny, will make a nice, dense, 6-foot-high hedge. There's a nice hedge of it along the front of a property on Haugen, as you're going up the hill about halfway between Nordic Drive and the top of the hill up there. You find it along Sandy Beach in some places really great plant. Can have those bright red ornamental rose hips in the fall. Fragrant flowers. Yeah, another favorite of mine. Rugosa rose, similar to Nootka rose, more bristly stems. A little bit more finicky about drainage from what I've seen. It's more of a stickler for good drainage and really seems to thrive the most on a more sandy soil. So not quite as broadly suitable for Petersburg, but still can be good in some places. I think also the deer maybe like to nibble on Rosa rugosa a bit more. And a whole bunch of other deciduous shrubs, ninebark, red flowering currant, red osier dogwood, all vigorous, easy to grow, generally speaking here. If they're provided with good drainage and all together can make a really nice natural hedge. You know, deciduous things won't provide the same kind of year-round screen as something like an arborvita. But if you have a little more width, you know, say 6 feet for the hedge in width as opposed to 3 feet, you can fit deeper layers of plants in there and create more of a screen. And those different deciduous shrubs will have a lot of benefits for wildlife and the fruit and the flowers and cover for nesting birds and all kinds of things. Douglas spirea, that's a really good one. There's a nice little hedge of that growing on the backside of a garden right across from the hospital next to that big gravel lot where folks park by the current older PMC facility, and it's flowering right now. It's got these beautiful little spire-shaped clusters of pink flowers. The Douglas spirea is also known as the rose spirea because the very rosy-colored flowers. And this, I think, is a really great plant, one we should propagate more of for Petersburg. Spireas in general are pretty common as ornamentals around here because they're super hardy and they're pretty tough plants all around. But a lot of them are shorter, shrubbier, and they end up getting stuck in the kind of deer purgatory zone where, you know, they're bred to make this like 3 or 4 foot high rounded ball, but that happens to be right at the preferred height for browsing deer. So if there's a lot of deer around, those spireas just kind of get butchered year after year. And if they're in a really good spot, they'll be able to outgrow it and the deer won't make such a dent in them. But if they're not in such a good spot, they just look terrible and the deer would just destroy them over time. The Douglas spirea has a much taller growing habit, looser, more open, can be, you know, 6 to 8 feet tall. This hedge I'm talking about by the live, across the street from the hospital, on the uphill side, I think it's a good 7 feet tall in some places. And it's a wetland plant, tolerates wetter soil. It's a native of the Pacific coast. I think it's a really good one here. I've only seen them in that one spot around town, but I'm impressed with how it's growing. Pretty easy to propagate from what I've read. So, keep an eye out for Douglas spirea. I think we could use more of those for good hedges. A variety of other vigorous, shrubby small trees and bushes like aronia, crabapple, even the mountain ash. I've seen pictures from Germany, I believe it was, or maybe Denmark, of a traditional living fence made of the common mountain ash where the stems had been crisscrossed like a lattice and sort of tied together and trained together over time, and it had sort of self-grafted themselves into this really stout living fence. Looked really cool. All kinds of different plants can be used for hedges. You know, it's all about the density of growth and the vigor, fast growth rate. Bamboo. Carolyn Pritchett has some beautiful bamboo plants on one side of her garden. I believe it's Fargesia robusta fountain bamboo, pretty hardy. The deer actually go after it here, so I would fence it. Bamboo can make an amazing hedge, very widely known for that down south. And don't worry, there are lots of clumping bamboos for those of you who've heard all the horror stories about running bamboo, destroying people's foundations or whatever. there's lots of clumping bamboos. Fargesia robusta is a clumping bamboo. It'll just make a clump that slowly gets incrementally wider over time. I love bamboo. I'm really excited about the idea of growing some bamboo here in Alaska. Even the native salmonberry. I've seen some salmonberry thickets, again, along Haugen Drive that have been sheared on one side, can make a hedge unto itself. You know, just shear it a little bit, prune it, corral it a little bit, let it do its dense thicket thing, let it have some width. You know, if you have 10 feet on the edge of your yard, you know, you could have a pretty dense salmonberry hedge. And Sitka spruce, like I mentioned before, going up Excel Street, there's this amazing Sitka spruce hedge along that mint green kind of gothic looking house, just down the hill from the Lutheran church. Long evergreen hedge out in front, and I'm pretty sure Matt Garrett said he's been shearing that, you know, every year in the new growth. Maybe he said it was in the spring. Can't remember exactly, but it's been very well maintained and it looks great. Amazing example of what you can do with something like Sitka spruce. But in that case, you know, you've got to keep up with it. If you let it go for a few years, there's going to be branches, long branches popping out all over the place, and it'll never be the same if you start cutting that back. All kinds of different possibilities with hedge plants. Great way to fit more plants into your property and at the same time enclose your yard, enclose your garden, get more privacy, make it feel more homey. Fit in some fruiting bushes, flowers for pollinators, foliage, all the things we love about plants in our garden. Hedges have many, many benefits. So keep a good hedge in the back of your mind when that lot next door goes up for sale. Hedge your bets. That's all for this week, folks. Thanks for listening.
Support for this program comes from Bloomsterhouse, filled with plants and supplies for the spring, like trees, shrubs, and potting soil. Open on Main Street, 10 to 5, Monday through Saturday, and at 907-772-2566.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes. Out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew, you can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy, eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, what'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Now if I was to change this life I lead, well, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden, be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.